Really special tonight as we kick this off. I want you to worship with me. We're going to go into worship one more time. And I want you to lift your hands and I want you to worship with me. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord, we exalt thee. Come on, exalt him. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Come on, sing it to him. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Oh, we exalt thee. We exalt thee. Hallelujah. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Oh, I will praise you. I will praise you. I will praise you, oh Lord. I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you. Hallelujah. I will praise you. I will praise you. Oh, Lord. Now, one more time, lift your hands. We exalt thee. Come on, I feel his presence. We exalt thee. We exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Oh, we exalt thee. Hallelujah. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, oh Lord. You see, this, not just this past year, but in the last few years, I've watched an attack not only on just my family, but on the church family. You see, our prodigals have walked out the doors. Am I the only one? Come on, lift your hand if you got a prodigal. You got a backslid brother, sister, son, daughter. Come on, lift them high. And the devil knows that he's not going to get me to go back to the crack house or the bar. So he tries to slip in my territory, which is my family. But I believe the Lord has spoken to me about this year. I've got one son that says that he's in an alternate lifestyle. I've got another son that's, I don't know what's going on with him. I seen him a couple days ago. I've got a daughter that I had to go to court and take her kids. I've got another daughter that she's starting to come around. And I've got one daughter married to a preacher. The devil likes to throw that up in my face. Am I the only one in here? Come on, get with me. I refuse to believe that my children are not going to be saved. I refuse for one moment. I don't care what condition they're in. And I believe that there's coming a revival. The Lord speaks to me in dreams. And I seen the nation of the Philippines where I've been going, and I saw it explode there, and like a waves on a tsunami begin to spread across this globe. And I watched it as it just rushed over the shores and the continent of North America. And I seen multitudes and multitudes of people flooding our churches. And I said, God, who are these people? You know what he said to me? Do you think I would forget about my prodigals? I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you, there's a revival about to start right here. Our backsliders are going to walk through those doors. And the only way they're going to walk through those doors is if you believe that they're going to walk through those doors. Exodus 24 and 15. I'm usually not a long-winded preacher, because I'm the ADD poster child. Craig Adams knows me. If I preach too long, I'd lose my own attention. So y'all be going, where'd that evangelist go? I'm going to go, oh, excuse me, I'll be right back. Sorry. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I had something totally different in mind. But as I was sitting there, I began to feel the Lord begin to speak to me. Remember what I told you in that dream. And I'm going to preach to you tonight. I'll be more evangelistic the rest of the week. But tonight, we're going to cover this city. All those hands that went up, lift them up one more time. Come on, you're going to have to build something. If all our families come back, can you imagine? Father, I worship you. I magnify your name, God. There is none like you. There is none beside you, Jesus. Lord, I need you to touch my mind, God. Touch my voice and touch my body, Lord. Lord, let me be able to follow after your voice, Lord. God, I'm unworthy to do this, Lord, but your blood has cleansed me and made me worthy. God, I can't do it unless you reach down and you touch me and you anoint me, Lord. Lord, it's not about me, but it's all about you, Jesus. God, let me decrease right now so you can increase. Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. I give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate in this place, Lord. Lord, let the gifts of faith and healing begin to flow in this place. I come against every sickness by the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ. And I come against every infirmity in the name of Jesus. And I come against any spirit that would try to harm this message or hinder it. Lord, now begin to move upon us, Jesus. Begin to move upon us, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to preach for a little while on through the eyes of the Father. You may be seated. After 430 years of bondage, God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He has, through plagues and pestilence, and finally the death of the firstborn in Egypt, the children of Israel have finally been freed of their taskmasters. Now, with the bones of Joseph being carried away with them. They set out on their journey in the wilderness led by God. Exodus 13 and 21 says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night." Isn't it awesome? It doesn't matter where you are in your life. Come on, God's going to be there to guide you. You can be at the best day you've ever had in your life. The sun's shining down upon you. No cares in the world, and there he is walking beside you and leading the way. Or you can be in the depths and the deepest, darkest night. And I promise you, if you look, Jesus is there trying to take you by the hand. Jesus is there trying to lead you. So the Lord hardens Pharaoh's heart. And then they realize that all of their servants are gone. Now they're going to have to work. I know when I first got in church, I didn't even read the book of Job. I thought it was Job. It scared me to death. So Pharaoh and all his horsemen and all of his chariots and all of his army, they catch up to the Israelites as they're camped by the Red Sea. Now, when the Israelites see this massive army of the Egyptians, the Bible says they become afraid and they begin crying out to the Lord. They go and they tell Moses, "Why have you led us here to die in this wilderness?" They even say, "It would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." I love this passage of scripture here. It's Exodus 14 and 13. "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Come on, someone. The devil has been trying to plant all this spirit of fear upon you. Come on, he's tried to place doubt. He's tried to place worry and disbelief in your mind. Come on, your health is coming up against you. Your finances, your family's not acting right. Everything seems overwhelming, and it feels like there is nowhere for you to turn to. You got the enemy in your face. You got the sea at your back. But can I tell somebody on a Wednesday night in Paris, Texas, just hold on, because what the enemy doesn't realize, God is setting him up for defeat. The Lord is about to step into your situation. He's not only going to fight your battles, come on, but he's going to destroy the enemy. He's not just going to push him down, but he's going to destroy him. Come on, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I want you to know that God fights my battles. So God makes a path through the Red Sea, and the Israelites march on dry ground. Now, I was reading a commentary. You got to be careful of them things. There's some ignorant people write those commentaries. My dad told me the Bible has shed a lot of light on those commentaries. And this guy said, this story is impossible because there was no Red Sea. He said it was the Reed Sea. And it only has 16 inches of water in it. There was no miracle there. I'm sitting there thinking, well, how did you drown a whole army of Egyptians in 16 inches of water and you don't call it a miracle? Well, my Bible says that they marched through the Red Sea with a wall of water on the right hand and a wall of water on the left hand. And when the enemies tried to come and follow them, God had already set them up. Come on, sometimes we wonder what kind of trial we're going through. We don't understand it. God, what am I doing in this trial? What am I doing in this wilderness? What we don't realize is he's setting the enemy up. Come on, he's saying, just keep on walking. I got something for them when they come try to come at your back. Come on, I serve a God. Come on, he cares for me. I want you to know he holds my breath in his hand. He cares for Nick Mahaney. He cares for my family. Come on, he cares for you, church. They then come tomorrow where the waters are bitter and unfit to drink. God shows Moses a tree, and when he cuts it down and he casts it into the waters are made sweet. Then they camp at Elim. Then they cross the wilderness. While in the wilderness, they become hungry, and God sends manna. Then they become thirsty again, and Moses strikes the rock, and their thirst is quenched. Then to refit them, and they are attacked by Amalek. Joshua and Israel fight the Amalekites, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur stands on the mountain. And as long as the hands of the leader is up, Moses, as long as they are raised, Israel prevails over Amalek. But when Moses, the Bible says his hands became as stones. When they tire and they start to come down, Amalek starts to defeat Israel. So the men of God stand up behind their leader. Come on. And they hold up the hands of their pastor. Come on, men in this church. Can I tell you one thing right now? I'm so thankful for my pastor. My pastor is Jimmy Lumpkin. And I'll just be honest with you. He called me as I was walking up the steps. And you ain't going to believe this, Brother Myers, but he lined me out a little bit on something. But I thank God for my pastor. Come on, you need to hold up the arms of your pastor. Come on, I'm not trying to get anything started, but the men are the ones that need to hold up the arms of the pastor. Come on, I travel all over this country. It's not hard to get the ladies to worship. It's not hard to get the ladies to get behind you. But it's us old stubborn, proud men sometimes that sit there. Come on, men. We need to get out in the aisles. We need to show these young people what apostolic really means. Maybe nobody runs the aisles anymore because you haven't ran the aisles. Maybe nobody shouts anymore because you don't shout anymore. Here they are, 3 months after leaving Egypt. They arrive at Sinai. And God then begins to instruct Moses on the laws and statutes that he wants the Israelites to follow and obey. This is the chapter that I was reading from where Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu. Man, how would you like to be named that? They were some tough boys. I'm just going to tell you. I fought all the time when I was a kid because my name's Nick. Christmas time, I had to fight just about every other day, it seemed like, at school. Calling me Saint Nick, and I'm already a little fat kid. Oh, you think that's funny, don't you? All the Adams over there, look at him. Just think if you just named Nadab. That's funny to me. I'm sorry. You think the boy named Sue was tough? So they all are up on this mountain, and the Bible says they see God. You can read it. And they see him in his clearness. Then a cloud covers the mountain. And the Bible says that Joshua and Moses go into the cloud. And Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 go down to the mountain. Now, while Moses is in this cloud, I want you to follow me. This Lord really showed me something on this. While Moses is in the cloud, God is instructing him about the offerings, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the veil, the sacrifices, the furnishings of the tabernacle. Now, I want you to pay attention to this scripture, Exodus 28 and 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother. He's speaking to him directly about his brother. And his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now Moses is on the mountain, and God is speaking to him. While he's up there, the Israelites start wondering, well, I wonder where the preacher's at. What's the preacher doing? Where'd the preacher go? After all they had seen, after all they had been through, I just give you a real quick tour of what they had done. They had already lost their faith. So they come to Aaron, Moses' right-hand man, and they ask him to build a god for them. Well, I wish it was that easy. And Aaron has them break off their golden earrings, and you know what he does? He makes a golden calf. And the people say, this is the gods that brought them out of Egypt. Now, here's Aaron, Moses' right-hand man. You know what he does? He goes, well, let's just have a feast for these gods. He proclaims a feast. God was instructing Moses at the same time on the holy garments that Aaron was to wear, telling Moses what he expected from the high priest Aaron. And at the same time, Aaron is building a false god for the people, and they are dancing naked in front of that golden calf. I want you to know that even though Aaron at that moment was not in the will of God, God saw who Aaron was created to be. Come on, in the very midst of his sin, God was already laying out his garments. Come on, in his doubt and in his disbelief, God seen who he created Aaron to be. And he said, I've got a garment of a high priest waiting on him. Exodus 28 and 36, and thou shalt make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness unto the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. Come on, somebody. It may look hopeless to us. My children aren't living for God. They're doing unspeakable acts of sin. They've made false gods. They're dancing in front of these false gods. And in our eyes, it seems impossible. But God doesn't see them in their sin. He sees them as who he created them to be. Come on, he sees them as a worshiper. He sees them as a Sunday school teacher. He sees them as a pastor. He sees them as an evangelist. Come on, he sees missionaries out there. The devil knows that if he can make us just look at their faults, our faith will become weak. He wants us to give up and to think that there is no hope. But God wants us to look at them through the eyes of the Father. Come on, it may look like the pig pen has swallowed them up, but God has a garment waiting on them. God has a garment waiting on them when they walk through those doors, hands raised, face in the altar. Come on, we got to have faith like God's faith. Instead of idol builders and sin worshipers, the Father sees them as who he created them to be. Luke 15 and 20. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the father knew that his son wasn't destined for the pig pen. The father had faith that his son was coming home. Now, you may think he was just walking around on the porch that day, looking down the road, waiting, just checking everything out. But I believe about every two or three times an hour he'd walk out there. Because you see, I had a daddy that looked for me, his prodigal. And he looked down through there. No, he's not made it yet. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, he's coming back. That's what my old daddy used to say. There was a guy at Arkansas camp. I was a meth cook. I was a horrible sinner. And a guy walked up. Brother Ronnie Patrick was standing talking to my dad. He told me this story. He said a guy walked up and said, Mahaney, if that was your son, I wouldn't put up with that junk. My dad said, yeah, if it's your son, I wouldn't either, but he's my son. And my son's coming back to God. Come on, you got to quit letting the devil plant this stuff in your mind. Now, I'm just going to tell you, when our son came to us and said he was a homosexual, I'm sorry, I don't use the word gay, because the Lord spoke to me and said that's a word that they have taken and twisted around and used it in the wrong way. You know what we did? We went back. We was at a motel. My wife fell on her face and began to cry out, oh, God. And I'm going to tell you, it bothered me. But the Lord spoke to me and said, I delivered you out of drugs and alcohol. I can deliver him. So now when I see him, he walks up, I hug him, and I think, man, what a testimony he's going to be, because God has a garment waiting on him. What a testimony he's going to be. And the problem is, we're afraid to preach against the sin of homosexuality. Come on, I'm not afraid. I've already been to jail so many times, more than notice a drunk on Mayberry. I don't care if they arrest me or not. Sorry about that. Whoever that is. But every day, several times a day, the father would walk out there. All of a sudden, one day he looked and he saw some dust coming up. He thought, uh-oh. Well, I'm not expecting anybody. He looked again. He said, man, he's kind of got a limp to him. But that looks like my boy. He's not dressed like he was when he left here. But I think that's my son. And all of a sudden he realized that it was his son. The Bible says he ran and he fell on his neck and he began to kiss him. Then he said, bring forth the best robe. They didn't have to go over here to Walmart, Bell's, or JCPenney's and get a robe. You know why? Because his garment was already prepared waiting on him. Come on, he had that ring in his pocket because he knew that his boy was coming home. He already had the shoes waiting right there on the porch. He said, bring me those shoes. I'm about to put them on the feet of my prodigal. Come on, he said, kill the fatted calf. You know what that means? He already had one just special. He had all these other cattle. This one was going to be the one when his son came home. Come on, you got to believe it. You got to believe it. Let me tell you, daughters of Zion, something. I know the mothers of the church. That's what they say. But who do you think prepared that meal? Huh? Who do you think lit those lights in that window every night? Huh? Who do you think went back there to where his room used to be and said, oh, God. Oh, God, I haven't seen him yet, but I'm just going to praise you in advance. Come on, praise is an act of faith. Come on, sometimes you just got to praise him just because. Man, he ain't healed my body yet, but I'm going to praise him because he's about to heal my body. My child ain't home yet, but I'm going to praise him. Just like they walked in that door. Come on, you got to have faith, faith, faith. Come on, brokenhearted fathers. Come on, brokenhearted mothers and sisters and brothers. Don't let the devil make you think that it's impossible, that they've been wallowing around in the pig pen for too long. What they're about to realize is the Father is waiting on them. Brother Myers, he has their garments ready for when they walk through those doors. Come on, maybe you won't accept him, but Jesus is about to accept him. I was raised on the evangelistic field. By the age of 17, I was already backslid, smoking dope and drinking. I was an alcoholic by the time I was 18. I was addicted to crack cocaine before I was 19. I was putting needles in my arms before I was 19 years old. full of hate for God and full of hate for anything that was good or godly. I want you to know that my pig pen of sin looked insurmountable. I danced before the golden calf of sin with a hatred for God and a hatred for the church, in and out of jails, and to all appearances, it looked like there was no hope for Nick Mahaney. My peers, family, friends, all said there was no hope. You see, it looked like sin had finally won and it had me. But the Father did not look at me that way, because he already had a garment of an evangelist waiting on me. He was just waiting on that day when I would come walking down that road. March of 2004, he looked off in the distance and he seen me walking to him. Come on, I got the Holy Ghost in a drug rehab, facing 40 to life in prison. But the Father didn't care. The Father looked at me as who he created me to be. He already had my garment. He already had a ring for me. He already had shoes waiting on me. He was ready to kill the fatted calf for the feast, because he already knew this day was going to come. Filled me with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name. All that shame and all that filth and all that sin washed away in a moment. The faithfulness of parents who refused to believe that sin would win, but my parents kept their faith in God. In this story, the prodigal's brother, if you'll read it, he's the one who points out all the sins and states all the sins that the son had done. But you see, I was blessed. My brother, my physical brother, welcomed me with open arms. Come on, church. They're not going to look like you think they should look when they walk in those doors. They're not going to smell like you think they should smell like. Come on, they've had the dirt and the filth of sin on their body for years. Come on, they're going to be tattooed up. Come on, there's going to be scars. There's going to be tears that run through the shame and the filth of sin. You can stand there and look down your nose at them, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to be lost. Or you can say, come on, I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're here. Here, let me help you put this garment upon you. Let me help you put this garment upon you. We have to realize it's not in what we can do, but what our God can do. Nick Mahaney, it's easy for me to see all the wrongs of sin. It's easy for me to be judgmental. But I need to learn to look at them through the eyes of the Father, because he sees them as who he created them to be. The Father never created them to be drug addicts. He never created them to be alcoholics. He never created them to be homosexuals. He never created them to be bound by fear, depression, and anxiety. But they were created in his image to be like him and to worship him. It's going to happen. I'm telling you. I wonder what would happen if every time we had a church service and you walked up into this church and you just walked over to the pew that yours used to sit at. Huh? And you walked down there and said, I think I'm going to sit here tonight. My boy used to sit here, because I know he's going to be sitting here with me before long. I'm going to get this seat ready for him. I'm going to get this garments ready for him. I got some shoes I want to put on his feet when he walks in there. I wonder if every time you came into church and you turned around and you prophesied at those doors, said, listen to me, doors. It may not be happening right now, but I'm telling you, my children are coming home. Listen to me, doors. You may not see them swinging open right now, but I'm looking at them through the eyes of the Father, and the Father has a garment waiting on them. If we ever grasp it, it's a passion of mine. If we ever get a burden and realize that maybe just sometimes we need to back off and let God do the work. Sometimes we're enablers. Sometimes we try to make it do it in our own way. Let me tell you what's happened with me. I told you about my son I just seen the other day. I'm not sure what's going on with him. But I do know this. He's had a job for a year. Woo, hallelujah. He's not shooting dope no more. He said, I smoke dope. I don't shoot it. I don't drink. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I got a little bit upset. I didn't let him see it. I was like, good Lord. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, if you can't celebrate with the small victories, how are you going to celebrate with the big victories? Huh? I got to thinking, well, man, there's some victories right there. We had dinner a couple days ago with them. God is going to save my children. God is going to save your children. Now, my grandmother and my grandfather, they came from the hills of around Lebanon, Missouri, back up in the mountains. So far back, they had to airdrop shoes and sunlight to them. My grandfather was just an old hillbilly, hard, rough man. My grandmother, her dad was an apostolic preacher up in those hills. My great-grandpa Jackson. When my grandmother and grandfather were married, the second Sunday my grandmother was at church, my grandpa Mahaney came in and drug her out by the hair of her head with a pistol in his hand, threatened to kill anybody that stopped him. The story is that he took her home and beat her and told her, if you ever go to church again like that, I'll kill you. So he was a violent man, and then they sent this violent man to World War II. My grandfather was a machine gunner in World War II. He told my dad he don't know how many hundreds of people he killed. And he couldn't get the memories out of his mind. He helped liberate a death camp, and it was just pretty overwhelming for him. He came back. Nobody knew what PTSD was back then. Only way he dealt with it was he drank. And he would get drunk and beat everybody in the house. He went in, he had a flashback and cut my grandmother's throat one night. By the time my father was 8 years old, he was already drinking. Him and his brother would drink and go break in houses and do all kinds of stuff in Wichita, Kansas. I asked my dad, I said, how rough was your neighborhood? He said, the further down the street you got, the rougher it got. I said, where'd you live? He said, at the end of the street, out in the field in an old bus, he said. My dad said he never slept in the bed or anything till he went to reform school or prison. One night he was outside and he heard music playing. And the reason I just remembered this story because they inducted my dad in the UPCI into the Order of the Faith. So we was gathering up pictures of my father. And this brought back this memory. My dad said he heard music, and he went and found the music. And it was a little old building. He said he could see people jumping, screaming, hollering, going crazy in this place. It was a church. He said, I got up, and I peeked in the window, and somebody snuck up behind me and grabbed me. And he said, I started kicking and fighting. And the guy said, calm down, son, calm down. He said, you're not in trouble. I'm just here to invite you to Sunday school tomorrow. We're having a Sunday school drive, and we're going to give away a free bicycle. My dad went to Sunday school. Guess what he won? The bicycle. And why I remembered this story is because I found the picture of him sitting on that bicycle. Now, it's hard to believe that a Mahaney would get in trouble in Sunday school. But they drug him out of Sunday school. He got in trouble. My dad said the guy set him down on the front steps and said, son, I just want you to remember one thing. One of these days, you're going to come to a crossroads in your life. And I want you to remember that Jesus loves you. My dad was just a young boy, 8 years old. He said when he got to that old bus that his dad had converted where they could sleep, put a wood stove in it, his dad was passed out. He had to climb over him to get in. He said he laid down on the floor, and as he went to sleep that night, he had a dream. He was walking up a road with his family. He said, when I got to the fork in the road, the left turn went down into hell and damnation. He said the right was a beautiful gate in heaven. My dad told me, he said, I vividly remember waving at my family as they went left, and I turned around and walked up that road to heaven. My dad said that night, in that dream, an audible voice spoke to him, said, son, one of these days you're going to preach my gospel. You fast forward 20 years. He slept in tombs, worshiped the devil. They did all kinds of horrible crimes. He was in and out of prisons, in and out of jails, violence, drugs, and alcohol. He walks into a Pentecostal church when I'm 2 years old. God fills him with a baptism of the Holy Ghost. 30 days later, my father told me, while he's telling me this story, I was laying in the prayer room and an audible voice spoke to me and said, preach my gospel. He said, immediately I remembered that dream. He hadn't remembered this dream since he was a little boy. You see, all those years in sin, all those times in and out of prisons, God was preparing Charlie Mahaney's garment. And when he walked in that door, he had the garment of an evangelist waiting on him. Come on, the devil wants to tear us up over our kids. I refuse. I'm going to preach it harder this year than I've ever preached it in my life. I'm not going to sit back. Now, you can just believe it or not. If you're in here tonight, you're baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. You're trying to live a holy life. The devil hates you. I'm just going to tell you. You can listen to all those televangelists with the big white teeth saying everything's going to be fine, because the devil's not worried about that yahoo. Come on, he's worried that if you ever wake up and realize who you are, that you're going to be a mighty warrior for Jesus Christ. So he's going to do everything that he can to keep you pressed down and to keep you squashed down. So he's going to come at you from with your family. And I'm speaking from experience. It's time that men and women of God, and this last day, this could be the last year. I wouldn't be shocked, would you, Brother Myers? This could be it. We've got to get a passion and a hunger for the lost, because he's coming back. He's coming back. And he's coming back, and I want my family to go with me. Let's all stand. I want us all to come to the front, especially the ones that raised your hand. This is a different service, but God's going to do something. Brother Myers, I wonder, how long have you been here? How many backsliders do you think are in this area? Hundreds, isn't there? See, the Lord also said that he's going to pull out the hidden backsliders that are hiding away in shame because they're so ashamed of all the stuff that they've done and what they become. But they know that's not who they're supposed to be. But he's going to pull them out. And he's going to pull them out. And you may be the one that helps pull one of them out. See, I long for the day when somebody calls me from another church. I got a a daughter in Tennessee, I would love to hear a phone call from somebody up there and say, is this Brother Mahaney? Do you have a daughter named Ashley? And so I need to send you a picture. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. She got the Holy Ghost today in our service. Or somebody called me, you got a boy named Jordan? Here's a picture of him with his new garment on. So I don't care what church it's at. I just want them saved. I don't care who prays them through. I just want my family saved. I don't care. Brother Adams, this man is my friend. He can call me, and I'm going to tell you right now, and ask me to pray. And we do. We pray. Me and my wife will be riding down the road and be thinking about you and your family. And I'm just going to be honest with you. Is this all right? I'm a transparent kind of preacher. I'm a man of faith. I'm just going to tell you right now. I've seen the dead come up. I've seen things that you can't imagine. Demons run screaming my name. It's the truth. So when he asked me for pray for something, see, he's not heavy. He's my brother. So, I just know it's going to happen. But the moment I get down on my knees, God save my children. I don't have that same faith. The man of faith that's faced down devils in foreign countries. Muslims trying to chop my head off at one service. The man of faith has no faith when it comes to my son, my daughter. This is where the body comes in. That's when I call somebody like Craig Adams. Man, I need you to pray for my family. Because in my weakness, he holds me up and he makes me stronger. I can't do it without him. I can't do it without him. Never met you, but I can't do it without you. Can't do it without you. What I want us to do is I want you men to find another man and say, listen, this is my family. If I give you their names this month, will you pray for them? And you give me the names of who you want me to pray for. And I'm going to pray for them. Come on, ladies, find you a lady. We're going to turn this in just for just a small prayer meeting. Come on. And we're going to, and for the next 30 days, you see in the Bible, like Jonathan and David, they were in covenant. That means anything that the other wanted, they could have. Come on, you're not heavy. You're my brother. And when you join up with him, I want you to start lifting your hands and start. Don't pray for yourself. Don't pray for your family. Pray for them and pray for their family.
If I wrote about your love, I'd run out of paper. If I sing about your mercy, I'd run out of breath.
Come on, that's it. Lift them up. Because when Zion travails, come on, Proverbs says a threefold cord's not easily broken. Come on, you're not heavy. You're my brother. Link up with them. We're in this together. We're going to battle this.
That's it.
Lift your voice.
Your love is where I want to be.
Come on, my strength can be found in the body of Christ.
Your grace is more than I can ever believe. Pour out your spirit.
Disciples, because of your love one toward another.
So shall be your mercy. Your mercy is so shall be. Your love is where I want to be. Your grace is more than I could ever believe. Your mercy is so shall be. Your love is where I want to be. Your grace is more than I could ever believe. Pour out your spirit. Your grace is more than I could ever believe.